Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Now, granted, Nintendo home video games are primarily a kid's sport, you know, for ages 8 to 15. But in recent years, it's really catching on with the so-called yuppie crowd, you know, 25 to 40 years old.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell, and joining us, as always...
It's Adam Knox.
That's right.
Can I tell you, I'm hot. Today it's raining and shit here in Melbourne where we are.
It's raining so much for a midsummer's day.
It's one of those
pretty
real,
wild.
I don't know if it's Nino or Nina right now, but it's one of them.
We were meant to have Nino, I think. Nino's right. The dry hot one, I believe.
That's the one when an ambulance drives past.
Mm.
Nino, Nino, Nino,
yeah.
Nino.
Because it's so dry and hot, people are just bursting into flames in the middle of the street.
Send a fire truck too.
Yeah.
But it was really hot overnight, and I woke up with, I'd kicked every corner of the sheets. Like, they'd all rolled off the I was tossing.
Oh, you went,
better believe I was turning.
You went burrito mode.
Yeah, I was metamorphosizing. And I came out a fucking sweaty, disgusting, stinky butterfly.
Like a little enchilada.
One of those little caterpillars you think is going to turn into a butterfly, but it comes out as just like a slug.
Yeah.
It went backwards.
Yeah.
It devolved. How many sheets are you talking here?
Just the one.
The fitted.
A fitted sheet.
Yeah. Oh, the fitted. Yeah. Our fitted's always popping off.
Yeah, I'm not trying to impress anybody.
Wow.
They're fucking the wrong size. I buy as well. Maybe this is part of the problem too, because I got quite a tall mattress, right?
Oh, you got one of them tall boys.
It's not as tall as me, but it's pretty big for a mattress.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm 6'500". And I buy the size up of sheet. I buy a king sheet to fit on the queen bed, mm-hmm. so it all tucks. But I think
that's a smart move.
Is it? Because I woke up inside of it.
Yeah.
So it's not taut enough, so
exactly.
There's nothing holding it in place.
Too loose.
I got to take it back to school.
But we've got the opposite problem. We've got one of those little mattress topper things.
Mm.
So now it's like, it's too much.
It's too tight.
Like, it's too much for the fitted sheet to keep its form. It's it's bursting out with, if you... You don't even need to toss and turn. You do one of them, you turn, it's popping off.
You could do, instead of having the big mattress protector to stop you from pissing on the mattress, you could both wear adult diapers overnight.
Yeah. Maybe we should do that.
Or just piss freely.
Just
let it go.
By
get
the way,
a straw mattress.
Also, I got engaged.
Hey, you're allowed to say it now. Okay, as a self-imposed.
Yeah,
you
the NDAs are.
Well, you were getting enough bad press that you were like, I'll just let it out.
I got down on one knee and I had the paperwork there ready to go. I'm like, can you sign this? And then, depending on if you sign this or not, I may have a follow-up question.
Congratulations.
Thank
we said
you.
That to you, IRL.
Yes.
Yeah.
In real language.
I've just figured that in the next couple of months, there are 300-plus hour JRPGs coming up, so it's probably a good time to just put on the record that, yes, I am committed to this. I will be very absent for most of January and February.
I'm getting engaged to Tifa.
Editing all of your, like, scheduled posts to say goodbye fiancé.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Beautiful photo of that Persona 3 Reload box.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Special edition.
I can't believe you maxed out your social link with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Now you get a special scene down by the lake.
Yep.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Congrats.
You did it.
It's lovely. I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
They say that I've got a water bottle in my hands for people who aren't watching. And
yep.
They, you know, do you remember the thing from like school and shit where they say, oh, if you tear the label off, it means you're sexually frustrated.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, let me tear the fucking plastic off the bottle.
I got to say,
congratulations,
that,
though.
That being in my head, does anytime I'm, because I'm a fidgeter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime I'm like holding a bottle or something and I feel myself kind of starting to pry away the label, I still have that like bullying from high school in my head of just like, don't touch the label.
Yeah.
Don't let them see you touch the fucking
label.
There
are a lot of
rules.
You'll
never recover.
Around like the things in your hands if they were drinks.
Yep.
Did you have backwash? Buffalo?
No, rules? What the fuck's buffalo?
If you're holding your drink in your dominant hand, you have to drink the whole thing if someone notices.
Fucking hell. No.
In your dominant hand.
And that's what buffaloes do.
Of course.
Right. So then you would deliberately just make sure you were holding it in...
In your offhand.
I would have to make sure I was holding it in my left hand.
A lot of drunk ambidextrous people walking around the parties. Oh,
shit.
Otherwise, I'll have to drink all of the drink that I've decided to open
that's in
and
your
be
dominant
drinking.
Hand.
Mm.
Yeah. Right.
You've got to finish it.
You got to skull.
Exactly.
You got to skull it.
Yeah. Huh.
Neck it. And then every part of the body all the way down.
Right.
Skull,
yeah.
Neck, shoulders it, chest it.
Classic trickle-down biology.
Yeah. Put that drink.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this in my life.
No, neither.
Honestly.
Yeah.
We had backwash rules. Not much else with
drinks. What is
with
the rule
drinks?
Around backwash? I know what. We're fucking wobbling around. This is.
When you're like around between age 13 to about 16, it was like everyone was terrified of backwash.
But what are the rules? Yeah. I know backwash.
If you're having a sip of someone else's drink, they would... People would make you like tip it into
they
your mouth.
They would monitor.
So the rules are around preventing backwash, around if backwash occurs.
Oh, I guess you just get teased and made fun of and like given a dead thigh.
Yeah. If someone thought that you had, and I remember people like holding up a plastic Coke bottle and being, look at that.
Yeah.
You backwashed into my drink.
Yeah. Look at all those bubbles. It's backwash.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people will pay good money for that stuff.
Yeah.
I sell my backwash.
I'm glad to be out of the era with my friends where either you would, you'd crack a can.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd blow the foam onto someone.
Sure.
Or you would just have cracked a fresh bottle and you like knock it on the top and you make it foam up.
That's
the
worst.
You know that thing that people used to do where you'd like open a drink and they'd say, what the fuck are you doing here? And then beat the shit out of you for coming to their party?
I'm glad that phase of my life is over. Yeah. Now that I'm engaged, I never have to worry about stuff like that again because I have a fiancé to fight my battles for me.
Leave
him alone, boys.
She does enforce punch buggy rules when you go on road trips, though. So that's, that's not. So
I think she did
hard.
Actually do that to me not all that long ago.
Punch buggy's funny.
That's why you get engaged.
Punch buggy could be a game you could play if you were playing the role of a little boy on a school bus in the Grand Theft Auto 5 role-playing servers.
Okay.
Could be doing a little bit of punch buggy. And if you get into a certain car, at least in the older ones, it was that that car would show up a lot in Grand Theft Auto if you stole that one because it would be loaded into the memory already. So that you would see a lot of instances of that maybe rare car. It would suddenly be driving around everywhere.
If you could mod the game so it's all punch buggies. Ooh. So you're just absolutely thrashing the shit out of your mate.
Well, that might be something that a famous singer / musical artist, T-Pain.
Yeah.
His name isn't T anything. I saw it when we were reading the article.
He's just got a T there.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wonder if it's like the pain.
Yeah.
Like he's bringing the pain.
That's what he's called in England. Over here we call him Dinner Pain.
Oh.
But
so wait.
You
thought maybe his name was like Timothy Payne or something.
I thought his name might be Timothy.
Yeah.
And then he'd just gone with T Pain.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Him and his. A colourful rogues gallery of bosses, T-End, T-Fear, T-Boss, T-Sorrow. This is a Metal Gear Solid 3 joke for the two
the
people
ones.
Out there who understood it, and then the one of you who actually cared that I was saying it.
Like, why are we listening to this boring shit about engagement and soft drinks? Yeah. When are we going to get to the Metal Gear Solid 3 references?
But T-Pain's been a prominent figure in the Grand Theft Auto role-playing community, which is enormous. That, like, a lot of people, and it's big on Twitch and whatever.
Yeah.
There are specific servers and like mods that these groups made to go in and pretend to be cops and play cops and robbers in the cops and robbers game. The company itself or the several little groups who've made some of these mods have since been hired by Rockstar to work on GTA 6, you'd assume, which is a smart move on their part, very Counter-Strike of them.
Right.
And T-Pain, before this, was like, he confirmed recently that he is working in some capacity on Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yes.
And that's why he was no longer, people noticed his absence from the Grand Theft Auto role-playing things.
Yeah, seemed like he pivoted from being a musician and like guesting on every song to just being on Twitch like 5, 6, 7 years ago or something.
I think he's one of those classic cases of like, I made my money.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck would I keep?
He's still he's still popping up. He did a Tiny Desk, an NPR Tiny Desk that people really loved. And he's also
a great singer.
Yeah, right. He brought out a covers album maybe a couple of years ago. It's called Under the Covers. And
okay,
nice.
Okay, T.
It's
role played as a simple naming guy. Come up with that one, did you? But
someone asked him on a stream like, "Hey, I haven't noticed you playing it lately. Been missing you." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm working on GTA 6.
I'm working on GTA 6.
And they,
sorry, I had effects on my microphone. I'm working on GTA 6.
And he's like, and they said to me, you can't do that streaming no more.
Mm. Yeah, we were a little confused as to the reasoning, but it makes more sense if he was, and this is us not necessarily knowing the full history of T-Pain and the Grand Theft Auto role-playing community, as is probably the healthy thing to do.
Mm.
It was real silverback millennials trying to make sense of a Zoomer headline, yeah. I have to say.
Well, I've never heard silverback millennial before.
On the older cusp of the millennial.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe you're just like a straight up millennial, but me and Ben are more.
I think in the midst of
it.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about gorillas, dude, other than the animated band, right. who I still think are very hip and current.
Uh-huh.
So he.
Fuck, marry, kill. Dexter, Noodle, 2D. No, cool. Wait, Murdoch, Noodle. 2D.
Which?
Dexter's from The Offspring.
Yeah. And so is Noodle. So
Noodle's in both.
I'd fuck Noodle Dexter because I can just show up to his house late at night and he doesn't have the self-esteem to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I've learned that about him. And he'll say, "Give it to me, baby."
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
when you get to his ass cheeks, he'll say, "Keep them separated."
Yep. He'll.
Nice.
The only other song of theirs I can remember right now is "The Kids Aren't All Right," and I don't want to do something with that.
In the morning.
Well, no, that's actually a fair thing to say.
You'll mooch off him, and he'll say, "No, why don't you get a job?"
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
I know all of their songs.
He'll go, "Was it good for you?" And he'll go, "Yeah."
Do you want me to order you a crazy taxi, or are you gonna stay the night?
Yeah.
Anyway, so if he was like working on stuff kind of for the role-playing mod,
yeah.
And then Rockstar maybe were like, "Hey, work for us only, please."
Yeah, and but there's a crossover in what they're making, basically.
But I assume he'll be like a host or have done music or like, you know, they get famous people to be the radio hosts.
Because we assumed when we were first reading it that maybe it was like them going, "Well, you're working on this, you're working on the new one, and if you're like playing the old one a bit, you might accidentally drop some intel on the stream."
Mm, yeah.
But no, it's "Hey, you're being paid to work on this. Stop making stuff for a basically bootlegged version of our old."
I guess that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Do you like remember how they had like Ricky Gervais and I think like Cat Williams and shit do
in
stand
four.
Up in
yeah.
GTA stand 4? Up, yeah.
They should have a podcast thing in it now and get us to do it.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
The Metal Gear Solid 3 joke podcast. It's 11 seconds long and it's bad.
They'd probably make us stop doing this.
That's okay. If we get GTA 6 money.
That's true. We'll stop doing this for the period that we're working on GTA 6.
Well, Rogan takes like $1 million contract, millions of dollars contract to be Spotify exclusive.
Yeah.
We could do the same thing if the only way you could hear the show was on GTA 6.
Yeah.
We'd all be fine with
Brother,
that.
You think I ain't selling out if I get the chance?
That's
I'm
true.
I'm only ever going to be an artist if no one wants what I'm making. If the second it gets big, brother, I'll make it however you want.
Yeah, okay.
Well, they had stand-up in...
what would you like? I could do it, sure.
Well, they had stand-up in, was it 4?
Yeah. It was
like
four,
you're saying, I wonder if they'll have stand up in 6. And given what's popular in stand up now, I can't wait to be driving around just listening to clips of crowd work.
Watching
Matt Rife call a woman on the street a fat bitch as you drive past her. You know?
Oh god, damn it! Fuck what stand up is now.
What stand up is, just fuck what is popular in stand up on the internet.
Fuck Matt Rife specifically, I guess is all we're saying. But like. The idea that you could get a crowd work comedian to come in and do a different line for each custom character bit of clothing.
Oh,
if you could have crowd work happen to your custom character, that would be pretty fun.
Do they make them for men next? Do they make them for men next? Do they make them for men next?
Matt, could you? I don't know why we're over the radio rather than just pushing the button in the studio, but could you come up with anything else? No, you literally aren't able to come up with anything else. Oh, okay, you've reached the extent of your abilities. Here's $7 million for now.
Over.
Roger Wilco.
It would be cool if
your name's Wilco, right?
Remember when people found out that like part of the reason why a lot of those Pokemon games kind of run like shit is because there was that thing where someone found out like, you know, if you have a bush in a game that you've like animated you, every time a little bush comes up, you're telling the game, replicate that original one. And someone went into the code and found that, like, it was, like, generating it new every time.
Oh, okay.
Just all these little things where it's, like, Game Freak are a little bit dodgy. It'd be great if GTA 6 comes out and it just runs like absolute shit because there's 48,000 different takes of Matt Rife saying, do they make them for men? Instead, just loop the same line again. No, they're all subtly different. You need the different one for the pink shirt and then you need a different one for the singlet. They've all got their own flavor to them.
People love Pokemon even though it runs like shit. If you like things that run like shit, then you're going to love me.
Oh,
I run poorly. I'm not good at it. Speaking of running, Take-Two are running with a really weak little lawsuit idea.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Rockstar as well, Take-Two are taking Remedy, the people who made Alan Wake, to court because their logo, they think, looks too similar to Rockstar's logo because both of them are just an R.
Just a capital R.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Rockstar has a star. And Remedies, I believe, has the word Remedy under the R,
it's
right?
Got the R, and I think the new one is like it's an R kind of... It used to be an R with a bullet through it.
Oh, yeah.
Could Max Payne.
Yep.
But now it's like an R that mirrors and repeats.
Yeah, it's like a little jittery sort of...
Yeah.
Well, and the Rockstar one, it's an R with a little star attached to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's not even a letter. That's not even really the R.
Yeah.
This is going to be like...
They should hire you, I guess, because that's
Jackie Childs of video game lawsuits. Because, the little star's attached to it.
That's how you put the star on?
Not the letter.
Nobody would think that that's an R. It has a star on it. An R doesn't have a star.
Just stupid.
Great stuff, though.
I doubt they will get anything out of it. But, like, it's probably one of those cases where a lot of these type of frivolous, like, intellectual property lawsuits that seem frivolous are because you kind of legally have to do it to keep your claim to your thing. And to some extent, I've been told before by
people.
Is this
going to be like,
don't
Cadbury own, like, a certain shade of purple?
I'm sure that McDonald's
has, I think,
that type of M.
Yeah.
It's just a silly design to make your design, your logo a letter, I think, as well. I don't like those logos generally anyway, but also logos don't really matter.
I'm pretty sure Paris Hilton trademarked That's Hot.
Yeah, or she was she did, or she was going to, and it was around the same time that Donald Trump was going to trademark You're Fired.
Yeah. God. I think the Kardashians tried to trademark the letter K and they weren't able to.
Oh, right.
Which is great. Because, like, what the fuck?
Sorry, someone actually already owns that and you're not going to be pleased with who it is.
It's the lawsuit of the century. The Kardashians v. the Klan.
Who do I side with? Honestly, which one's more egregious?
Well, I know which one. that's kind of a weird thing, but there's nothing really more to it. I don't think it'll really go anywhere, but
do
it's kind of funny.
Do you think we should try and trademark Filthy Casuals and get in a big lawsuit with that company
that clothing company
already has the trademark
already has it and maybe doesn't exist anymore?
I mean,
do
if we've got
exist?
Too much money then we could, which we do not.
It could,
patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
People could get confused by it. I mean, I myself at PAX a few times I saw people walking around wearing a t-shirt that said Filthy Casual and I thought, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
So, wait, that's a t-shirt we've never made.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that if it were made, I would have drawn.
Yes.
And I never did.
But
so
maybe
either I got
this
hit
person
on the head
bought
with a
the
mallet.
T-shirt because they love the pod and we're not making our own t-shirt. So they have no other option.
I do think that some people at PAX did see it. I think maybe more recently because that brand used to be bigger and were like,
right.
Oh, I assumed it was you guys. Mm. It's like, well, it's
that brand
not.
Did used
I'm
to be
glad
bigger,
you didn't buy it.
Which is why if I see comments saying Filthy Casuals fell off, I go, and then I go, oh, and then I realize,
there were some other podcasts called Filthy Casuals when we started.
Yeah.
And
oh,
I believe
bad name.
We've outlasted all of them.
If we had our time again, I wouldn't go with that name again.
Yeah, what would we go with?
The Beatles.
This is why we landed on it, because it ends up being too difficult to come up with any name.
Yeah.
That's why there's so many people named Mark and shit, because it's like, oh, what else do you do?
Yeah.
No shade to Marks.
Yeah.
I'm an Adam, one of the worst ones.
That's my uncle's name, and I came out of the gates Christmas morning and said, by the way, have I ever told you, terrible name.
Adam?
No.
Mark.
Oh, right.
Shocker of a name you've got there, Uncle Mark. Ooh. No offense.
How does he spell it? With a K or a C?
With a K.
With a C is a bit of fun, because the Kardashians own the K.
Exactly,
he's
tempting fate.
And that R is getting risky, so he's just going to have to be Mark. Oh, he's A.
He's just A.
He's Mac. He's going to get the hard R out of there.
But yeah. No, you can't.
He can't have the K in there.
But you can't be called Mac.
Why?
He'd have to change his name to Sephora or something. It's a makeup company.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's what's
going
on.
The makeup company v. Mac DeMarco. Now, that'd be good.
Okay. Okay. That's nothing.
He ends up owning just DeMarco, and then Mark has to be like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Now I'm just oh, no, that's the wrong way around.
But yeah, junk lawsuit.
I slept on
lawsuit.
An empty mattress last night.
Absolute junk lawsuit.
Yeah.
This is like all the, you know, the like all the music stuff that happens where it's like, this has ripped off.
Oh, I hate
this
those.
Melody is similar to this one. So even though that artist is dead and they might not have cared too much, I'm going to come after you. It sucks. Yeah.
Some of those are about the most unmusical parts of it too. I fucking hate those.
Yeah.
And they're all so sleazy and deliberately fucking bleh.
Yeah, they just want to get the royalties. They don't want to. It's not for artistic credibility. It's,
what are they? The fucking God, I wish I knew the name of the guy who assassinated Franz Ferdinand. Get the royalties.
Oh,
Archduke.
No, that's the guy who got shot. Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't the guy who killed Franz Ferdinand Archduke Franz Ferdinand?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
he
a
killed
suicide.
Himself.
Yeah, he killed himself by being the kind of person that someone would want to assassinate.
He took himself out.
Yeah.
Giorgio something. I don't remember.
No way of knowing.
There's and there's no other royalties who've been assassinated.
Not yet. Give me time.
Thankfully, no one listening to this will know the answer. So it's not like we're going to get messages about it.
No, and you can't Google it. They never found out. He got away with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of getting away with it, I reckon Ubisoft have gotten away with what I thought mistakenly was going to be a shit game.
So did I.
You think they're getting away with it?
It seems like they're about to get away with it.
It is getting pretty reasonable reviews.
Not make a shit game. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize it was the team. We're talking about Prince of Persia, the...
Yes.
Something. No. Hourglass or something?
No.
Well,
no, you're right that it's...
The Lost Crown.
Yes.
Okay. Oh!
Speaking of getting shot at a royalty...
That they've had to sit there and give it a subtitle, but it's like, people are just going to call this the new Prince of Persia.
It's Prince of Persia, buddy. They are the team who did like Rayman Legends and the Rayman games.
Mm.
Had no idea about that, just purely from the look of it. Had written this off in my head.
Yeah, me too.
And it's getting some early rave reports.
Yeah.
Yeah, first hit of the year.
It's about to get another one. I've been playing a bit of it and I really like it.
Wow.
Nice. The rumors are true.
You put the ball on the tee.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize this had one of those super editions that you get early access. So you've been playing the full version already.
Yeah, I did the demo. The demo is kind of a little slice of it. So it's not the very beginning and it doesn't carry over. It's a little bit of the way in. Some bits are blocked off. You've kind of got, it sort of gives you like more of the abilities than you sort of have at that part of the game to just let you kind of zip around and get a proper feel for it.
Right.
Which is smart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I played the demo, I should say. Yeah.
It's not, that bit isn't too far in really. But
it's very
also,
short as well.
Yeah, yeah. It just gives you a little flavor of bit of combat, bit of the like, yeah, zipping around, jumping around. But I don't know quite how long I've been playing it for, but I'm up to, I guess, like a second boss.
Okay.
Probably. So I'm getting a bit of the way through. And it's a pretty straight up Metroidvania.
Mm.
And maybe it's the fact that I have always liked that genre and there hasn't really, well, I haven't played like a new one. It feels like there was a point where nearly every game that came out, certainly indies, were all Metroidvanias.
Mm. Yeah,
it feels like it's been a while since there's been kind of like a big one that sort of landed on the map.
There's been a lot of them around, but I think that they're not getting the same hot attention that they used to as well. Because like obviously Metroid Dread was
obviously the originators coming back, and like you guys liked that game, right? Like
I loved it. Yeah,
like all right, here we go. We put our stamp back on this genre. Mm.
That was probably the last one that I really sunk a lot of time into.
It's one of those things too, where so many games have those elements in them now when you might not think of them in specifically that bucket.
Yeah, you get new abilities and then you can get into this bit. It's the, it's the more like you finding heaps and heaps and heaps of little areas that are blocked off to you. And I mean, that to me, that's what like a true one is like huge map that you can, you're not segmented into areas. It's one huge map and you're, constantly going around and bumping into little, like, oh, I can't jump high enough for that. Or
that, like, Mickey Mouse game that came out last year was kind of one.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, Blasphemous 2 and things like that have sort of come out and been that type of thing. But, yes, like, this is also one and has the thing that I've always done with these but integrated in instead of having to get your phone out. This is the coolest, one of the cool things about the sound of this game to me. There's a function where you can take photos in the game of bits that you know will be something you'll want to come back to later, and it will, like, place them on the map.
Yeah, you get a little, it's a little power up that you get, and you are limited. You've got, like, a finite number of them. You can't just do it, like, willy-nilly. So you, which is cool because it adds into it a thing of, like, you sort of having to prioritize certain areas. But, yeah, it's so handy because a lot of the times in these games, I find I get a new ability and I'm like, great, I can go back to that bit, and then I spend maybe an hour just walking around trying to find where the bit was that I needed the double jump for, which is, you know, the like the trial and error and the exploring of these games is fun, but they're just not being able to find something because you just can't really place where it is on the map, and then having to do all these combat sections that you've already done and all that kind of stuff, that's, you know, that's not fun. That sucks the fun out of it. So yeah, it's such a great idea that it is kind of crazy that it's taken this long for someone to implement in one of these games.
It's weird. And that was a thing that just sort of, like, summed up the oh, cool, if they're approaching it with this point of view, that they're like, and yeah, all those reports have been that, like, you tell me.
Yeah.
Combat's good.
You can hear one of those reports right now if you'd like.
It is maybe because they are, because they came from, like, pure platformers, this development team. It's like coming to this genre with an outside view and being like, oh yeah, maybe I never really enjoyed them because I couldn't do that, pin that thing and remember where to go back. It's just like a nice fresh perspective.
Yeah, so it's got such a, like, the movement is so tight, you're zipping around, you're hanging off walls,
You're dashing in the air.
You're dashing in the air. You're grabbing little poles and swinging around on them. And then you've got this really, like, tight combat system that's very responsive. You're building up a little bar for every bit of damage that you do that then gives you, like, a special attack.
It kind of reminds me of the Spider-Man games, like a 2D version, because you're, like, you're doing a lot of, like, dodging between legs and hitting from behind, hitting people up into the air and doing, like, vertical, you know, like, suspended kind of combat. Yeah, it's really fun. It's very fluid. It has that same sort of fluidity.
And it's got all these, like, timing windows of parrying, so you can just... you can just do, like, a normal parry, but then there's also, like, a special attack that enemies will have where they'll get, like, a little glint. And if you time that properly, you do, like, a kind of glory kill, finisher move kind of thing that has this little flashy animation attached to it. And, yeah, the bosses are sort of, yeah, they're pretty demanding. Like, they're all, like, you really have to learn each enemy and the timings and get really in the flow of it. What else have you got? You've got your arrows.
Yeah.
You've got...
And the arrows can be a charge attack, and also you're triggering certain environmental things, platforms and stuff with the arrows, and so you're jumping, and before that one disappears, you've got to... you know, like, just a lot of that kind of... sort of fast twitch platforming stuff.
Cool.
Wrapped into the combat.
And, yeah, you're in this big... The prince has been kidnapped... You're in this group of seven immortals who are like the little heroes of this world, and you go off to this mountain where you're following the person who's kidnapped the prince, and you're just trying to get him back. And it's like every time you get to a new bit, you'll sort of see them and they're marching him off into another area.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, we've got to work out how to flick that switch to get up there or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's got like a lot more... It kind of feels like it's, in terms of its presentation and story, it's almost like a 3D open world game in how much kind of bits of story and dialogue and stuff it threads through. Like, you're meeting a lot of people, you're seeing a lot of little cutscenes. Like, the lead up to this getting here, it's pretty simplistic, but it is a lot more cinematic than these games generally tend to be, just like one very short area and then you're in. Like, it's got a lot more sort of...
And because all the cutscenes, I think, are in engine, but they are then... Yeah, like different camera angles. It's not all, you're not just all on a 2D plane the whole time. It feels a bit more fleshed out.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, you're like, I don't know. So yeah, you're kind of with a band of people, like five or six people. Are they just there to like talk to? I haven't experienced, at least in the demo, any like combat interaction or anything like that.
Yeah, there's bits. There's been a couple of bits where one of them will jump in and help you. There's okay. like one bit where you find a guy's bow. And like you're looking for him and then you find his bow and it's like, oh, where's he gone?
Yeah.
They're mostly just kind of dotted around to give you little bits of flavor of the story and sort right. of point you in the direction of like, oh, yeah, I think I saw him go up there. I right. think they're mostly just kind of there to let you know that you're on the wrong or you're on the right path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can also turn on a thing that makes it a bit more guided. So the map will okay. just show you like, here's exactly where the bit is you're meant
no,
to go.
No, thank you.
But again, it's like... you know, it kind of maybe assumes that this might be your first time
That's
playing
cool
this kind
it,
of game.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a cool. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah. It's like in
again,
Uncharted where you're like in a puzzle room for like half an hour and then it goes like, ding.
Yeah.
Would you like some help?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
hey, it seems it. Like you need
it's
it.
It's been half an hour. That's crazy.
Like I actually went to get lunch. I'm not that stupid.
Somebody's okay? told you what to do like 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's just, you know, it's nice that it's like, hey, you might just want to play through this game
sure.
without having the thing of spending hours wandering around.
Doing the backtracking.
Looking for what
yeah,
to do next.
Yeah,
you might
yeah.
just want to like breeze through it. And yeah, it's got like 4 difficulty settings. So it is pretty, it's pretty open to you having whatever sort of experience you want with it. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It feels great to play. It's very fluid. It's got all the like, yeah, Metroidvania little trappings of just that satisfaction of finding a new... power up or ability and then just knowing where you're meant to go because of the photography system. The only thing I'm not crazy about is the presentation and just the like general design and art direction. I think that's a big part of why we were all initially, you know, thinking it didn't look very good.
Looked
is
a bit
it's
cheap.
Just,
looked
it's a little,
bit.
It's
yeah.
got that old, like when people used to say it looks like a mobile game type of look. It had sort of aesthetic to it that I still don't love the look of.
And the environments and stuff look great. In motion, it looks a lot better because you're so small on the screen. But just anytime they're doing these cutscenes and like even just down to like the menus and all of the UI stuff, it's so Ubisoft. It's this like angular, like purple. It's just very like in their realm of design, which just to me does not fit at all with the tone of like... The setting that you're in and like the game over screen that comes up, it looks like something out of Cyberpunk. It's like this weirdly, it just really doesn't work for me. I'm minding the design and the overall thing like less and less as I get more into the game. But
right.
I do think it's a bit, when the Rayman games are so, they're beautiful. They're so artistic and colorful and the designs are so fun and interesting. This just does, maybe it just speaks to the fact that they're a bit sort of hemmed in by it being a, you know, a Prince of Persia game. So there's certain.
It's not even very Persian, though. That's like one of the weirder things. It's like the character design of those people around you, your character, none of it screams, like classic sort of ancient Persia empire stuff. Like it's very just sort of generic, boring. Mm.
It's it is that
fantasy.
Real kind of like Fortnite approach to like sort of comic booky, but a little more cartoony than that. Where I wish it was just either going for a bit more realism or going for a more like overly cartoony kind of look. It's a bit sort of stuck in the middle for me.
That 2008 one looked really good.
Mm.
The sort of cel shaded one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You don't play as the prince this time. Yeah. You're normally playing as the prince himself.
Yeah, I don't know what your exact role is.
You're just the guy of Persia.
You are just a guy, yeah.
I've held off
SEAL Team 6 of, but like
I've
held off saying his name,
right?
Because I know what's going to come next.
What?
Well, his name's Sargon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a fucking Persian name. It's funny.
No, it is because his mate's Ligma, and that you've got.
I was right to hold off for as long as I did.
Yeah, Sugma, Ligma, and Sargon. Yeah,
There you guys. But, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, and I didn't love. It took me a bit to get into the flow with the controls as well.
Yeah.
They're a bit twitchy, a bit light, you know, a bit floaty, but
It threads it all into you a bit more in the, you know, when you're playing the game from the start is the main thing I'd say.
But and by the end of the demo, I was into it and I was feeling, because like, just like dumb decisions, and I'm sure there's, it makes sense, but like, you, X is jump, but...
Yes. The idiots, fucking morons, what are you doing?
What, double jump is not tap X again, it's press R2. Which just doesn't quite feel as intuitive as it should.
But that's your dashing through the air. That's your dash button, so it's like you're just replicating that in the air.
But yeah. I got okay with it by the end of it. But then, yeah, there's just... The look of it is very... You're right, it's very mobile game. Or even just mobile game ad.
Yeah,
it's a shame.
It's definitely my least favorite part of it. Although that being said, yeah, when you're playing it on a bigger screen, especially, most of what you're seeing is the environmental design, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it is.
The colors are nice. The design is good. It's got a very, like the little bits of music and sound effects and stuff that are in there do a good job of like, you know, conveying the sense of space that you're in.
And the combat animation is good.
Yeah, it's just little close up. Yeah. Glory kill things
like
that you do.
Swishing your swords, leaving a nice... It's literally, I think, yeah, just the character design is kind of uninspired.
Yeah, it's a shame. But I would say, there's a demo of it on, I think, every platform. It's on everything. So there's a demo of it that's worth a try because, yeah, if you'd written it off just based on the design, I think it's worth a look, especially if you like Metroidvanias because it feels like, a while since there's been a high level polish one of them, and I'm having a good time with it. I really had just completely written it off. I did not expect to.
Yeah.
And it runs really well on the Switch. I think they've they've maybe bumped down the settings a bit, but it runs at 60 frames. It's very fluid, it's very smooth. I'm not having any issues with it on that.
All that platforming is really fun. The wall jumping, like that, I think once you get into a bit more of the platforming, the sort of lightness of the movement feels... That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, you get up to these bits where there's, you know, spikes on the floor here and then there's bits of wall where as soon as you touch them, spikes will come out, and kind of zipping around there feels very like doing your damn parkour in the dungeons of this weird little tower.
Feel
pretty cool. There's like an enemy who, if he grabs you, the screen blacks out and you wake up in prison, so then you're like, you got to find your way out of a little prison that you're stuck in. It's fun. First good game of the year.
Yeah.
And nice to kick off with a total surprise of something that I had just, written off as being absolutely not of any interest.
Really goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Susan Boyle can sing. What the fuck is happening?
It is the Susan
understand.
Boyle of video games. It totally is. It's a Susan Boyle. This week's episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by the fine folks over there at Manscaped.
It's a new year. Get some new skin showing and some old hair gone with Manscaped.
That's right. New year, new pubes.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been my motto.
They're always coming.
They don't stop coming.
They make them every day. They're like bakers, the pubic region.
You might be buying those single-use pube trimmers, but guess what?
There's a better way.
The hair's going to keep growing. You're going to need this thing for the rest of your natural life.
The Lawnmower 5.0 is the lead thing that you can cut very easily with.
Yeah. It's so easily to cut with.
It's good at chopping. you've got the beard hedger.
Yes.
That is great too. They make a ton of products. You can get like the platinum package, which has a bunch of them in. Go have a look on manscaped.com, and when you're checking out with your goods,
if
you use the code Filthy, wouldn't you know it, you get 20% off and free shipping.
Damn.
How dare the deals be that decent?
That's very, very good.
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto in the pod, Manscaped, remind me of the dog from Grand Theft Auto 5. Good chop.
Oh,
fair enough.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I can't argue, but...
No, I can see you wanting to.
While you're on the internet complaining about Tommy's chop joke,
make sure
you're safe and secure.
Yes,
with NordVPN.
Yeah,
it offers travel.
Yep.
You can be in a bunch of different countries, and it has really fast speeds and stuff with them too.
You can send me hate mail and I'll be like, man, the people in Russia hated that chop joke.
Deb,
what's going on?
I can't tell where this digital anthrax came from.
There's I've noticed a lot of the best films of the sort of end of last year, early this year, they're getting released on streaming services.
Oh yeah.
And some of them, they're not getting released in Australia, and they are getting released in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was May, December.
Yeah.
Was on US Netflix, not Australia.
They only have January through April here.
Well, it's upside down. But you can use a VPN service.
The calendar goes the other way.
Like NordVPN to legally get around that stuff.
Yeah.
It's really easy to use. They've got a bunch of apps on a bunch of different devices that are so simple to set up that even an idiot could do it.
Mm.
And I'm living proof, baby.
Yeah.
NordVPN, it offers you safety and security and all those sorts of features we've discussed.
Yeah.
NordVPN.com/filthy is the place to go.
Yeah.
And get yourself 4 extra months when you sign up for 2 years.
Ooh.
For this useful and perpetually needed service.
Mm.
That's my advice.
Thank you, NordVPN.
Yeah.
Thank you, NordVPN. I'm trying to do it to the tune of that other one. Doesn't matter. I have been playing...
Oh, yeah. Video game?
An add-on.
Ooh.
To a video game.
Wait a second.
Yeah, dude, they can make those now. You expand the game further than what it was at release. So I finally got around to that God of War Valhalla thing that mm-hmm. came out like the day after or the week after the Game Awards.
Mm.
Free mm-hmm. update. And it's crazy that this thing's free. It's really good.
Yeah, fuck.
I really enjoyed it. I played through like the whole sort of main story part of it. Which there is.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's like a full on and well written and like a noticeably kind of return to formish kind of thing with the tone and whatever to me.
That fucking squirrel cunt isn't in there anymore.
He ain't around.
Yes.
And it's so it's set after Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a bit of time in between the end of that game and the start of this. It warns you. It's like a separate thing in the menu. And then it goes, by the way, don't fucking play this unless you've played the main game, please.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
And it really does serve as like a good proper little bow tie epilogue to like Kratos's growth mm-hmm. during those couple of games. Because Atreus is off and it's just you and Mimir running through Valhalla, which is a roguelike afterlife,
mm.
which to me would be having been sent to hell, but
yeah,
for these guys it's heaven.
Okay, I guess he does love hitting people with that big axe.
When I tell you what, I fucking do too.
Yeah,
the combat in that game is so fun, and they've found a really some good fun ways to make this roguelike version of it not feel like a chore,
mm.
which
yep.
sometimes that type of game can for me. You're doing a very you know, Hades, and it's ancient Greek mythology and shit mm-hmm. tied in there too.
Yeah.
So it's very Hades of before the run, you choose your different type of shield and you've got all of three of your weapons to go between.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But you're choosing, remember you had different types of shields
yep.
and you had the different types of Spartan rage
mm-hmm.
and all of those sort of things. You are choosing before your run as well as the like L1 and X ability thing.
Right. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
You're between each run upgrading your stats like your health and your strength and all of that. You know what stats are. And all of this was like what I expected to have, you revisiting different versions of these maps and fighting enemies from the main game
mm-hmm.
in different configurations and whatever.
Is it like long, like linear maps or is it arenas?
It's
or what?
Small little arena sort of things
right.
that look like the realms that you visited.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going between randomly in sort of the first phase of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get up to the second phase, it's something else. And I don't want to spoil it for people, but it's cool.
Okay.
Ooh.
And consider
me spoiled.
It's especially with the way that those two God of War games that they've done have tied in bits and pieces of the original trilogy.
Yeah.
The way this game does that is very cool.
Ooh.
And it's... like the second one, similar to Hades, has like a different sort of challenge to it than the first one is just sort of go through X amount of doors until you get to a boss who you kill and then you move up. Then the second one has a slightly different take on that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that surprised me though, I kind of expected all of that. You say God of War roguelike mode. I'm like, yep, the mm-hmm. combat in that game's great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to do more of it. but without sort of a drive, it could feel chore-ish. Mm-hmm. And it totally doesn't, because they add in this element of story to it that was above and beyond what they needed to do. Is better than I expected it to be, mm-hmm. more in depth than I expected it to be. A lot of voice acting, a lot of proper cutscenes.
Wow.
And like an actual really necessary part of the story that feels earned and interesting.
Cool.
Which is super out of nowhere.
Yeah.
For a free update to the game. Like The Last of Us Part 2 is like this week putting out the Left Behind or No Return.
Yeah.
Left Behind was the first one.
And the remaster, yeah.
Which looks cool and is getting like people are being positive about it, but that's $20.
Right.
And yeah. It doesn't have any story stuff folded in. If anything, it ruins the idea of that story being about ending the cycle of violence by having a mode that is literally do the cycle of violence again and again. And also Ellie can dress as an astronaut.
Well, that's cool.
Which, whatever. But it's super fun.
Yeah, wow.
I was really surprised by it and way more into... So, like...
Seems like they did themselves a bit of a disservice by when they dropped this. You know, like, right at the end of the year, coming into Christmas, like... Maybe, yeah.
It took me a while to get around to it, but also partly because I didn't quite expect it to land its storytelling aspect of it so much. Because it's like a lot of you and Mimir having chats, and the story overall is basically Kratos goes to therapy.
Right.
Like Valhalla can bring back memories.
Like The Sopranos.
And makes, yeah, kind of. Oh. You're going through dreams and having like...
Dr. Mimilfi.
Dr. Mimilfi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does that well. It does it with like this warrior, like this is warrior therapy, is doing lots and lots of fighting,
right? Yeah.
But really addresses like some of the bits of like Kratos grew, especially throughout Ragnarok. A lot of my problems with where the story of that went is that characters changed their perspectives on things in a really unnatural way,
mm-hmm.
particularly Freya kind of swap it, like that just seemed rapid in that, and this is a lot more introspective and interesting.
Yeah, cool.
I thought, and like surprisingly over the top. And then as the roguelike thing, it's fun going through and like earning the bits and pieces that you do out of this. Like you get you earn points to spend on stats for using different things. It encourages you to change it up a little bit.
Yep.
And it was easy in that game to fall into like, well, the axe is good.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
It's clever with how it does that, and just fuck, it's fun to fight guys in that game.
Yeah. I kind of want to play this even though I never finished the actual game.
You could honestly look up what happens in the ending of that, and like this is very much set after it and a continuation, and it's like a few months after and some stuff's happened in between that they sort of talk to you about.
Right.
But the stories that are contained within it, though they do tie into, obviously, especially to Kratos' whole story over fucking 9 games or something now, it's still telling its own sort of individual thing that I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly.
All right.
Yeah, really surprised by how to the wall they put their balls with making this and very satisfied with it.
Yeah,
it's like maybe 3 or 4 hours sort of thing.
Okay.
Just to go through the kind of main story bits, and then you could spend a lot more time like getting every challenge done and all of that. And the combat in that game is so fun that having a really well-made reason to do lots of it with like interesting enemies to fight and stuff, that's pretty cool.
I was pretty skeptical on it, but I am interested to see what that Last of Us 2.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I a similar thing where I really enjoyed how that game played, and you don't get to do as much of it as maybe you want to because it is much more focused on the storytelling and everything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Which obviously works really well, but then yeah, it's cool to have this type of mode at least for a bit. That one without the hook of like the story in this, I doubt I'd have played as much of it as I did. Honestly,
okay.
I'm not sure how often I will, or if I will, kind of return to it and do the rest.
Yep.
Like there's trophies and shit that look pretty easy to earn that maybe I will because it's just a fun game. But
yeah, in terms of like. Because, like, are they really difficult? Are there bosses? Are there... Because, like, there are those in the main games, and there was that stuff that is that you could return to after the story was done. Like, if you're like a real God of War combat head, are you being like, great, I'll be able to thrash this and really hone my, my skills? Yeah.
Yes. It is a good level of all of that.
And right.
You only need to go through like four or five times like that you're forced to. Like, I don't think I died unnecessarily. So it was about four or five goes around.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite quick to work your way through. But like, it even in those, judging from the list of stuff I didn't see in the achievements and whatever, there's a lot in there that it will throw at you randomly. So how often you see that stuff is going to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
But it's doing really cool stuff with it. I don't want to say too much about of that stuff, but I was really surprised.
Yeah, fuck yeah. And yeah, it's only a few hours. Why not? If you already have the game, why not give it a crack?
If you liked it, especially like the early, if you like any of God of War, this is great.
Yeah.
It genuinely really does some cool, interesting stuff that like I sort of wish had been, not necessarily this version of it in the main game, because this definitely functions as an epilogue, but this treatment of these characters and the way that stuff is happening in this, I think they've gotten that tone right in this in a way that patches of Ragnarok miss the mark on, and this is sort of what I'd have wanted more out of that original game.
How long was it between? It was 2018, right? It was the sort
that
of
was
reboot
the
one.
The reboot one, and then it was 2022 was Ragnarok.
Yeah, okay.
And now it's 2024.
Because currently. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they felt, because I think the scope of Ragnarok was bigger and it was more open and all that stuff. If maybe the story, you know, was compromised a little bit, and having that more time to be like, okay, or maybe they always knew that they were going to do an epilogue in this way. And
maybe so.
They were happy to have it sort of trail off and come back in a year's time. And
I think this is an also thing, so like it's but from all the stuff that's sort of after the fact, the little whispers and jispers about like the development of Ragnarok, it being two games that they then compressed into one, and having these sort of problems around it, I think a lot of the pacing stuff in that story gets explained by that to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
But then just the treatment of like, it's a hard line to walk where you've got this guy, this character in Kratos whose whole thing forever was fuck you, and then in 2018 they did a good job of him being like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said fuck you.
Yeah.
And then in Ragnarok he's like, I shouldn't have said fuck you, and I'm sorry,
fuck myself.
But and then this is kind of him being like, oh, actually forgive you. Like there was something about the Ragnarok stuff where it's like, oh, Thor, I shouldn't be drinking, and just stuff that like didn't quite land the right tone of trying to do that redemptive stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That this is doing a little more deftly.
Nice.
Have they said is there any more? Is this it?
I could see that this concludes, but right. I think serves well as a setup to one more. You could see where it's like, now put that shit into action.
A little story, an actual little story mode thing.
An actual third game of this thing, which I assume they're doing.
I meant, as they said, is there going to be any like more to come out for this?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
They haven't said, but I would imagine this is the end of like Ragnarok stuff. I will say as well, I think this is only on the PS5.
I don't know if this is there for the
PS4 version of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it works super well, and it's got me excited again to see like, yeah, man, if you can make a third one and really stick the landing on where you've brought these characters to and like do that stuff.
Yep.
Well, then that middle part of the trilogy can often be brought back in some sense if you make the payoffs for the things that didn't necessarily work out of that.
Yeah.
Work well for me. I think a lot of people have come, have ended up in a position where they're like, oh, I don't know if this or that worked about the story in Ragnarok, because it played great.
Yes.
But specifically just like a few of the key bits of that story weren't done right. You know, they didn't have enough room to breathe with some of it. They didn't really make fucking sense in the overall like the snake going off and then becoming the thing, and like all of that was so thrown away and like, well, what that had no bearing over most of this, and then like the sudden twists and turns that one of them was really good. But anyway, the point being, this is what they got to do.
Yeah, they're flying back into the right line,
and it feels like they maybe had a bit of time. Like I think it speaks to Ragnarok maybe having been a little bit of a messy development in some ways.
Yep,
and this having a bit more focus and direction to it.
Yeah, and so much pressure too with Ragnarok, where you know the first, well, God of the first reboot one.
Yeah,
people were like, oh, this is an all timer.
Yeah,
and so you're working against that pressure, but now like. The actual game is out and this thing that you're making is just, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's an extra little free thing. So there's no like, if all it's really going to do is like, yeah, please some people that liked the base game or be a little bit more of an incentive for people to buy the base game now.
But then to go above and beyond in that sort of scenario is cool.
Yeah.
It's cool as hell. And it really makes me want to revisit that game as well, and maybe just like after having been a little bit about some of it, if on a second go around it'd be more like, oh, okay,
right,
if I chill out on it a little,
or
if it'd be more like, nah, once again I was right.
Yeah, I never finished it either, same as you, Tommy. I did get pretty far in. I feel like I got maybe, you know, sort of two-thirds, three-quarters in, but maybe I'll finish it. So I can at least have an opinion on if I like or dislike those story things as well.
To be clear as well, again, about Ragnarok, we've talked about it so fucking much. But it's like gone to a 7 from a 10 or whatever from the first to the second. Like, I don't think it's shit, dog shit, fuck you, dog shit.
No. It was like it was good enough that you want to, you wished the slight dips were, you know, if they'd been ironed out, it would have been, you know, a 10 out of 10.
Exactly. A crinkly shirt can undercut the most handsome face.
Mm, yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I got neither.
Well, speaking of free shit.
Uh-huh.
And add-ons.
Yes.
I played a little mod this morning and
did
yesterday.
You?
Get a load of the mod boy over here.
Got a T-Pain over here.
Fucking, there's T-Pain. A bloody... I'm wearing bloody Ben Sherman. I've got a Union Jack on me. I'm a mod. I'm a mod.
Yeah, right. I'm a rocker, so
yeah,
eat shit, moped boy.
I played, a mod called Portal Revolution. I only knew about it because it was prominently featured on Steam. So this is like a pretty well-endorsed mod for Portal 2. Man, I love those Portal games. And I had a hankering for it. You talked about... the Talos Principle, like a month ago or something?
Something like that.
And I still do think, probably Portal 2 is my favorite first-person puzzle game. It's like a, you know, industry standard, basically. And this was pretty fucking good. I've played probably the first, like, five or six puzzles, tests. It's very much, it's more like the first one in the second one's engine of, like, welcome, test subject. Here are a bunch of Portal puzzles to do.
Am I right in thinking this, they've tied the story into this is like a prequel to Portal 1 or something?
I don't know. There's not been a lot of context so far, story-wise.
I think that's maybe the case.
It would make sense with what I'm seeing so far.
It'd be very funny if we try this out and it goes, welcome to the Portal prequel, first thing.
But I do think you're like, it's saying stuff like, you know, you're... the process to awaken you from stasis is a little bit fucked up, and so your vision might be... So I that would make sense that it's like you're an early test subject and it's an early version of all of this stuff. It's great. The puzzles are really, really good.
Okay.
The aesthetic or like the presentation, there is a voiceover guy and it's just a guy and it's not Stephen Merchant and it's also not a computer, which... I feel like if I was making a Portal game and I couldn't afford a famous voice actor, I'd just use like a robot voice.
Get a mate who can do a computer voice.
Yeah.
So what, it's someone being like, g'day knackers, welcome to fucking...
Pretty
Portal.
Much. Well, they're American.
It's get either computer or yeah, fucking g'day.
Yeah.
I'm gun there.
Not only am I a shit voice actor, I can't talk good.
You've got a lab coat guy up in the booth is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Just some guy being like, hey, welcome to... And doing all the GLaDOS stuff of like, the sort of dark humor and the, you know, references to... how you're going to get treated very badly and probably die over and over.
You got to do that.
You got to do that. That's part of the Portal thing. And, like, it could be worse. The voice actor is certainly not, like, shit or anything. But, the puzzles are really good. And it does sort of, like, drip feed, or, you know, it builds them up as it does in the other games. It doesn't really just assume you've completed all the games and you're diving straight in. Mm. But, yeah, what it's doing is really, really fun. And, cool. And I played those, you know, first two long enough ago that I do appreciate the semi-tutorializing that happens. But, yeah, fuck, just, like, it's the best puzzle mechanic. Like, it's just so clever. It's so smart.
I finished two. I should go back to that. Because I played them. I played all of one and then I went straight into two.
Right, right.
And did a big chunk of it, but just hit a point where I was like, I think I've had a bit of a feel of Portal for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't have...
Damn, I got to put on The Office, brother.
They shut down. A guy was doing... Valve shut down.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was doing a Nintendo 64 version of Portal.
Oh.
Been working on it for a while and, like, kind of had it working. It was really impressive.
Yeah, right.
And they canned it because he was... It was in the thing where, like, if you're making a mod like that and you're also going, like, so subscribe to my Patreon to pay me to make this mod, it gets to the bit where it's like, oh, you're kind of using our property and getting paid for it, so we don't have a choice.
Yep.
Yeah.
That logo looks very much like a P. So can you get out of here, Rockstar?
When,
it's,
like,
it's a
do
P
it
with
as
a star on it.
Do it as, like, a passion project on spec and put it out, and then you may well end up getting work out of it.
It's hard to say because, you know, you can only... be doing a Patreon if you've got purely original content. Ting. I was hoping my eye would go ting when I winked in, but once again it didn't. One day it will.
And I guess this is a passion project. And it has been, like, highlighted and put forward by Valve on their storefront.
Yeah, they're usually great with that stuff. Like Black Mesa was the same thing that then got a Valve endorsement, like, they're doing, like, a Half-Life 1 remake, I guess.
Yeah, and exactly. What was it? We played something else semi-recently that was...
Especially when it's like, well, we're not going to do it, so,
we
may as well just boost up the thing that is to a high standard.
And the puzzles in this are really intelligent. Like, I could see this person getting hired on if there's ever something similar in the...
To not make Portal 3.
Yeah.
To not make Half-Life 3.
But, you get hired and then you just sort of walk around the Valve offices and have fun by the sounds of things.
Yeah. Sib wears a lot of white.
I recommend this. It's obviously free if you've got Portal 2. Like, not a big download chunk either. And I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's impressively made. So
yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
If you're looking for a free first person puzzler and you already have Portal 2, why not? Why not give it a
fucking
don't
you
honk?
Have it already?
What have you got to lose?
Well, you might not have got around
might
to
not
it.
Have heard of it.
Yeah.
Guys, that's going to do us for another week. Thank you so much for joining us. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to everything that we have going on. We've got the Patreon. You get a bonus show in your feed every week.
Yeah.
Where we talk about movies and TV shows and basically everything we're consuming that's not video games. It's a lot of fun. Check that out. We got the YouTube channel popping off. We've been playing Lethal Company on there. We'd love you to check all of that out. And we've got hundreds and hundreds of videos. We've got the full Let's Plays of The Quarry, Detroit Become Human,
Until Dawn,
LA Noir, and then heaps of just little random one-off videos that we've done. Get around all of that. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time. But until then, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
this is T-Pain hosting 106.9. Guarantee you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.